Chicago, a city on the lake, a city made of neighborhoods, neighborhoods that all went for Lori Lightfoot. But now that that election is over, the issues facing the city can get the attention they deserve, right? Right. The runoff may be dry, but we're continuing our neighborhood tour because somebody has to. Tonight, let's go to Hermosa. The stretch of West Armitage just east of Pulaski is known by many different names. You could call it Hermosa, Humboldt Park, maybe even Logan Square. It's the near northwest side of the city. Hermosa has some famous claims. Walt Disney was born here, and Schwinn Bicycles as well. It's home to a vibrant Mexican-American community, a community that keeps getting pushed and pushed out. Logan Square is in full gentrification mode, and many fear that this stretch is next. Politically, it's the first ward, and the 26th, and the 35th, and the 36th. You get it. It's been redistricted. But as aldermen and ward maps come and go, the community stays constant. So what's important up here? Well, if there's one person I can think of to talk community, it's my friend Lily B. She's a storyteller, one of the best in the city. Lily just had a huge article in the Reader about how she's diversifying the live lit scene. She grew up in this area, continues to call it home. We meet at the Churro Factory in the 3700 block of Armitage for some coffee and, well, a churro. In my case, maybe two.
What do you call this neighborhood?
It depends on the realtor, right? I know that for me, it's Hermosa, Humboldt Park. I still kind of... I call it home. I mean, this is the west side. You know, it's at the end of the day, it's the west side of Chicago.
Right, right.
It's the non-gentrified yet side of Chicago, like west side Chicago.
I was going to say, I mean, one of the hallmark issues in this area has been gentrification.
Mm-hmm.
Logan Square has seen so much in the last 5 years. It's crazy,
yeah.
Even before that, but
yeah.
Last 5 years alone. Do you feel it here? Do you feel, you said so this kind of, you don't feel it yet here.
Not
but
yet. Not yet.
What do you think of that gentrification?
You see, this is the thing for me. Is like, I don't mind people coming in. I do mind people being pushed out. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't mind people coming in and being like, I'm here to make a life with my family, and like, I'm here to like live in Chicago. But I do have a problem with people coming in and being like, well, y'all gotta go. Or looking at me like I'm the outsider in my own neighborhood. I don't know. It's like an insult sometimes to be looked at like an outsider in the community neighborhood you grew up. Like, I'm 40 years in this, you know, in this piece. So to be looked at like I don't belong here by people who've been here, you know,
yeah,
a hot minute, that's kind of unsettling and a little bit kind of like the nerve.
What are the issues in Hermosa, in Humboldt Park here? Would you put gentrification at the top of that list?
I would say that, yeah, displacement, like housing definitely is a thing about, you know, who gets to keep and own properties, gentrification, housing. Not so much what people think would be the issues. Like, I think people think it would be like crime and all, like, it ain't that, but that's what you would see, right? Because that's how you get people to gentrify, is you make it about what it's not.
Yeah.
And what it is, and it's also very individual to the person, I think, that lives here. Because you ask my landlord, for example, he's going to tell you it's taxes, right? And you ask me, and I'm just like, I want us to feel more like a community. Though the issue for me is that we're disconnected, and I don't feel like neighborhoods are neighborhoods anymore. You know, it's just like people coming in and sticking to themselves in their own little boxes, and not kind of getting to know each other,
yeah,
because it feels so temporary.
The West Side has always had the stereotype of it's just run amok with crime. That
mm-hmm.
there is, you know, someone needs to come in there and I don't know how they're going to fix the West Side of Chicago. But hearing you talk about it, that's not how people who live here perceive it or live it.
Mm-mm.
So where do you think that comes from?
It comes from money. Like, real talk. It comes from, like, who's going to make some money or who's going to make a buck creating this fear over what's happening in these neighborhoods, and how do we manipulate or control that fear so that we can create a solution? You know, they create a whole campaign around fear, right? So it's like, if people are afraid, then we can come in and say, this will make you less afraid, and being less afraid is what you want, right? Like, and then so let's build this beautiful building, or let's put in this business that will ward off the crime. But it's like, no, I mean, I've talked to friends who are anthropologists, and like, the crime don't go nowhere, like, drugs don't go anywhere, they just morph, you know? So just, it's money, right? Like, I think people looking to make some money off of the buildings that people bought super cheap back in the day, yeah. You know, and now can say like, oh, well, you know, we could turn this $187,000 building into a $3 million building.
Exactly.
You know, like, that's what that is. And I'm not down. Like, my landlord right now is fighting to keep his building, right? And I'm just like, does that mean I'm gonna go somewhere? He's like, I'm fighting. Don't worry about it. Like, I'm fighting, which I appreciate, yeah. You know, like, to hear. But I also am kind of like, who's helping you? Who's got your back in this fight, right?
Do you feel that your elected officials in this area have your back? Do you feel like you have strong political clout when it comes to Hermosa and Humboldt Park?
So I got a new guy, Spada, right? So, like, that's my new guy where I'm at. But they change, you know? They redistrict. They move the lines. Now it's this guy. Now it's this guy. And I'm just like, at this point, I don't trust any of them. And not that it's, like, their fault. It's that, oh, gosh. Like, you move the lines, and now I have to go somewhere else, you know? So the relationship I've created with you no longer exists. I got to go create a whole new relationship. And people get tired of that, you know? Like, think about it. Like, you don't want to keep making new friends all the time. Just, you know what I'm saying? Like, your boss changes every day, right? You'd have to, like, oh, now I got to get used to this.
Well, you know, we talked a little bit about it during this tour about when they do redistrict the lines, they change it up, it almost disenfranchises the people who live there because they don't know who to go to. It's almost on purpose where if you want to keep old power structures in place, keep switching the lines because then people just feel like, well, I don't know what to do, so I'll just sit
out. They've just become like, oh, whatever. I don't care. Whatever. It becomes a very whatever apathetic, just like, whatever. And that's the thing. Like, when my landlord says I'm fighting to keep my building, that's what I think about. Like, who's helping you? Well, it's not Proco Joe anymore, right? Like, it's not him. It's now this, like,
somebody else, right?
Somebody else. You know?
You just had a great piece in The Reader about being changing the face of storytelling. You've been a longtime storyteller in town, but you do a lot of different mics and showcases here in Chicago. And a lot of that has to do with getting people of color and anybody who is marginalized to tell their story, to not let other people tell their story. Mm-hmm. Why is that important to you?
Oh, man. We talk about, because that's what's been happening. Like, if you look at the biggest of the biggest person talking about people, right, which is, I'm going to say, like, Trump right now is painting everyone with that brush, like, all Mexicans, all this, all that, right? And people are buying it. Because we're all, like, I'm not like every Mexican. I'm sorry to say that, but I'm not sorry. Because I consider myself, when people ask me what I am, I'm like, Chicagoan. You know, what's your background? Chicago. Like, it really is. Like, I didn't listen to music from Mexico. Like, I just didn't. I listened to Chicago house music growing up. You know, I grew up on the streets of this city. I have Mexicans that don't believe I'm Mexican until I start speaking Spanish and singing some songs I do know in Spanish, right? I don't have the same, when I'm not the same. And we're not. Like, can we get over this idea that we are the same? We are all very unique individuals. We experience things very uniquely as people.
Politicians, especially national politicians, they're going to try to do that. Do you feel that Chicago does that? Do you think that Chicagoans do that?
Yes. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? We're the most segregated city in the world, probably. We are so like that. And we don't go outside of these places. Like, I know people from the west side won't go to the south side. I know people from the south side won't come to the west side. And guess why they won't come to each other? Because they think the other is crazy. Like, south side is crazy. West side is crazy. Y'all really, for real? Same with north and south.
You know, your job is as an artist, you're in a lot of different hoods doing a lot of different things, right? Is it getting better?
I feel because I've been out there 10 years and kind of been, I mean, I talk to producers, I tell my friends about it, I bring people all the time to shows that they might not feel comfortable, and I bring producers, I take producers to places they might not feel comfortable, because it's not about going to support just storytelling shows, it's about going to support things in those communities, right? Like, go and visit a farmer's market in a neighborhood that's not your neighborhood. I have a friend named John, real quick, white guy John, who I met telling stories, and we've been doing this like exchange of culture. He's very affluent, I would say, and I'm not. But a week ago, he took me to Costco in Schaumburg and Shaw's Crab House, which I had never had, but it's delicious. It's ruined salmon for me, which is the worst thing he could have done. Shaw's is ruined salmon. I can't eat any other salmon but the one from Shaw's. John's going to take me again. But then I took him to, you know, Book's Brunch and Botanicals. It's like in Humboldt Park, which is like a bunch of women of color got together and decided they were just going to put together a day of like, come buy some woke books on feminism and like heal your with crystals and lotions and buy some Jibaritos. And I had him buying like Jibaritos. He took a piece of artwork home. That's what we need to be doing. It's just like, hey friend, I know you don't live in my neighborhood, but I would like you to come and support this thing, and then you will find people for your events if you want different audiences. Like, because I'll go to a show, and if I see an all-white audience, they're doing something wrong, because that's not Chicago, right? It's not our city. It's not. Get on a train, and you'll know that's not our city, right? So what's happening? And I think it's people, like I said in the very beginning, trapping themselves, putting themselves in these little bubbles, in these little rooms, in these little condos, in these little boxes, and not leaving and listening to the stories that are being told about us, about each other, on the screen, on the phone, through their media feeds. Like, no, get out there and experience some people, like some real people. IRL, greater than URL, I say all day.